RadioInfluence.com.
I'm so lonely. I should have started off the show singing Moon River, wider than a mile. I'm crossing you in style one day. Is that how it starts? You know, this is pre-recorded. It's not like I had one shot. Whatever. Hello, everybody. It's Friday. I'm feeling nice and relaxed. I'm feeling kind of sore, too. Been working out like an animal the last 3 weeks. I really have some goals I want to achieve, and I'm feeling good. It feels like college again. Really do. Not collagen. College again. Just really getting the hormones going, man. And you can do that, especially you guys out there. Just concentrate on legs. Concentrate on leg workouts. That'll help really get the testosterone going again. Feels good, man. It does. But it's a nice gray day over here in New York. Every once in a while, a nice gray day is just what the doctor ordered. It makes you feel all right about not being outside, so you can concentrate better on working inside. And that's what I'm doing right now. It's 10:14 in the morning, and I would like to get around to some headlines, and I think we might be able to get some Q&A sent in from the Telegram, one or two questions at least, and we'll see what happens there. Maybe something unexpected happens. Q&A is always so spontaneous, so let's get on into it. All right, what are we doing today in Tracy's absence? Well, let's jump around the headlines. I got one over here from Axios, the Axios Powers. They published 4 hours ago that America may be close to hitting a vaccine wall. We're going to hit the wall here, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't flattened the curve yet, but now we're going to hit a wall with vaccines. The virus won't hit a wall. We only needed 14 days for the virus to be flattened, so that the healthcare system can take care of things as it would normally do during a flu season. But now the vaccines have hit a wall, and you know why? Because they've already gotten so many people vaccinated that all is left, what they're saying here is, quote, without significant investment in addressing people's barriers and making vaccines available to those below 18, reaching herd immunity will be a real challenge. So we're not going to be able to get immune now until we vaccinate everybody below 18, which is the demographic that is most resistant and least endangered by this virus with a 99.9% survival rate. Now they want to make sure that, well, we're not going to be able to get anywhere unless we vaccinate everybody under 18. So they're making it harder and harder for themselves to ever get to the finish line, because they don't want this ever to end. There's none of that. None of that is in the game plan here. But the other thing there, they say they need significant investment in addressing people's barriers. It's not just that they need to get to people under the age of 18. And what do barriers mean? Well, they say for the first few months, the primary focus of the U.S. has been getting shots to everyone who wants them as quickly as possible. Soon, that focus will abruptly shift to convincing holdouts to get vaccinated. You remember in the first few months they're talking about prioritizing the vaccines because, of course, low income and brown and black people needed it first, and we don't want the vaccine to be rolled out through the same kinds of limitations that our very white supremacist nation usually puts on things. And now we're talking about how we're not going to actually be able to move past the pandemic at all, because I guess those very same white supremacists and other people, these supremacists across the board, they don't want them. Well, if they don't want them, then wow, geez, it should have been really easy to get everybody as many vaccines as they want. And trust me, There's plenty of vaccines out there because many of them are being dumped, millions of doses, contaminated, Johnson & Johnson. Everybody's running around looking for shots. Oh, man, they're dumping them. They're dumping them. This is just... So that's where we're at with that. I'm not going to bore you with this, but speaking of viruses, Prince Philip is dead. And he was 99 years old. He finally croaked out there at Windsor Castle. And now I would say watch out for the big one that they've been telling us is coming around, because it was Prince Philip that once said that when he dies, he wants to come back as a deadly virus to take care of the overpopulation problem on Earth. So I guess it's curtains up for Prince Philip in his new life as a microbe. We'll see what happens there. Axios also reports that America's biggest boom is here since 1946. Well, yeah, of course it's a big boom. When you put tens of trillions of dollars arbitrarily into an economy after you shut it all down and you just tell the printing presses to go voom, then yeah, there's going to be a little bit extra money to play around with. You know, we were still in debt when Donald Trump assumed office in 2017. We were still in debt, but we weren't. The reason why the stock market started shooting through the roof was because of consumer confidence alone. I don't think people are very confident in where we're going in the future right now. They just got a lot of extra money to play with, and they figure, hey, let's cash out as quickly as we can before the next catastrophe, the catastrophe comes. Because there's no way that you can continue to expand this bubble. You can't. There's no way to do that. Especially since you're committing to new iterations of society that don't allow people to be fully employed. In personal life, I know full employment is one of those communist pipe dreams out there, but you don't allow people to go out there and be fully employed in their personal pursuits. In December of 2019, I know you may have heard this on this show. I think it was on this show. Or did I hear about it yesterday? Either way, yeah, either way, $2.1 billion over here in New York. New York has, the state government here in New York has approved a $212 billion spending package for fiscal year 2020, until fiscal year 2022, I believe. And out of all the nonsense that's in there to try to bring the state back to relevancy, which is ridiculous because you talk about a state that has put itself out of business by telling people they can't go and work, by telling people they have to close up their offices and their jobs and all that stuff, and then just saying, well, we're going to tax everybody. We're going to put a tax out there, tax hike, and we're going to bring ourselves back from the dead. Not by putting people back to work. They're still playing those games about slowly getting on back to normal. They're just going to spend money. It's literally, and like most things that liberals do, it is the meme of taking the power surge and plugging it into itself instead of plugging it into a power source. The power source being people who are free to leave the house and do what they will to stimulate an economy. That's the only rule that works when it comes to economics. But liberals, they're masters. They're very talented, gifted people. They have ideas that nobody's ever thought of. Why allow people to be free and independent when you can just print money out of nowhere and that'll be it? Because of course, you can't argue with the logic that if there's more money, people who have less money will be able to be better off than they were before the money was printed and just given to them. So there you have it. And speaking of people who have been given money for no reason, undocumented people, illegal aliens in New York, are getting a cut of the pie in this ridiculous spending bill. $2.1 billion is being set aside so that illegal aliens are eligible to receive almost $16,000 apiece, just willy-nilly. Gone to each person. Now, I don't even necessarily, I understand how illegal immigration has been used as a weapon, not only in the Eastern Hemisphere, but in the Western Hemisphere over here. They're trying to destroy civilization by overflowing society with illegal immigration, with people who are net negative as far as what they contribute goes. I'm not saying that people are useless and any human is illegal. No, I'm just saying that people are being used. Their home countries are being destroyed either through economic devastation and or war, depending if we're talking about Central and South America or in the Middle East and North Africa and all that stuff. People's homelands are being destroyed. Their cultures are being ruptured, and they're being pushed into places where the new target, the real target is, okay? There was a time when we over here in the United States, we can sit back and look at the, oh, isn't that horrible, the poor people in Syria out there, the civil war out there, and all North Africa, all Libya, how horrible. Look at all the destruction around the world. Oh, Brazil. Oh, man. How horrible over there in Venezuela. What is going on with this socialism? It's a real problem. Thank God we live in the gold US of A. Well, our friends in the US of A were actually a big part of making all those problems real for people around the world. And why? Because once those countries fail, they're going to send off all the people they can't support anymore to here so that this country can fail. And there's more reason to say, well, we've got a crisis on our hands. We've got to think outside the box of good old capitalism. It's not good enough anymore. We need to centralize all the power in Washington, D.C. And then from there, we got to centralize all the power in Belgium and or wherever the hell the UN is meeting that day. It's part of a plan, and we're being run into the ground by monstrously evil people. Some of them are stupid, just enthusiastically stupid, and they actually are proud of themselves. So there's that. There's pride and stupidity that plays a part in this. But there's also monstrously evil people at play working the strings on this one. But there you have it. There you have it. Of course, it's been a big week for the invalid in the White House talking about gun control very conveniently on the backs of several highly publicized shootings. All publicized in different convenient ways, omitted details in other convenient ways. It's just where we were meant to go, I guess. This is what we were not going to be allowed to avoid this, I guess. And what does that do for everybody? It's going to make a lot of people, there's going to be migrant crises here in the United States now, especially going back to New York again. A part of that bill that they put together for 2024, the New York City ultra-rich are going to be facing a 52% combined top income tax rate, which is the highest in the U.S. now. So we're doing actually worse than California as far as it goes to sucking the life out of people, the only people that actually keep these Ponzi schemes in blue states alive. So what does that mean for you all out there? Well, the most out-of-touch people, which are the New York City elite, the most out-of-touch people, the donor class in New York, is going to leave for saner states, redder states. These are people who are so metropolitan in their worldview. I'm telling you right now. I'm sure you can assume it, but I'm telling you, I live around them. I don't necessarily hang out with the elites, but I understand the mindset. It is such a sick metropolitan worldview. And this is the donor class. This is the class of people. This is why they have no other ideas over here but to just to slice the throats of the only people that are actually donating to their political campaigns. Now, the rest of what they're getting their money from are from laundering schemes from philanthropists like George Soros. But, you know, the only people who actually had money left to donate are the ones that are being squelched out now over here, squeezed for everything that they can in New York City. So they're going to leave their brownstones. They may keep the property on hand, maybe just for a write-off or something. They might sell it all together and go to places like Nashville or down in Florida or God knows where else. And you got to watch out because, like I said, they carry their insanity with them. It's ingrained in their DNA. Very few of them are willing to even consider waking up to the reality of what they helped perpetrate through their money and through their own philanthropy. And they're just going to fund Democrats wherever they relocate because they're completely insane. So Watch out for the U-Haul trucks from New York, ladies and gentlemen. If it's not people like me getting on out of the truck and going door to door and meeting everybody and assuring that, hey, don't worry, whatever the hell the vote is, I'm voting no. I'm with you all. Unless you get that, unless someone like me shows up at your door with a bundt cake and a bottle of wine and assures that you have they have studied the Constitution and they're ready to make sure that government stays as minuscule as necessary or as possible, then be very scared. I cannot tell you anything else. There's that. Okay. Yeah, there you go. So watch out for New Yorkers. New astonishing footage captures pyramid UFOs swarming over U.S. Navy destroyer, as reported by the Daily Star. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I was talking about this with Clyde Lewis the other night. Nobody cares. The Project Bluebeam has been triggered, only they're not using UFOs, they're using a microbe. And now nobody cares about any of these disclosures. I say it over and over again. If this were 1997, the UFO news that we got in the last 3 years alone would have stopped the planet from spinning. And now nobody cares. So, man oh man. Incredible footage supposedly taken by a U.S. Navy destroyer has been leaked. Yeah, all right. Has been leaked. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, you remember when we were talking about the Hillary Clinton's multiple violations of the Espionage Act and how she should be in Fort Leavenworth for two lifetimes? Okay? And how it was ridiculous to see that she was allowed to not only get off scot-free, but she was allowed to continue to campaign for the presidency after what she had been exposed of doing. Whereas other people who have committed the pedestrian crime of, you know, being in the military and just taking a selfie somewhere near a nuclear submarine hangar has gotten them prison sentences for many years. Just being able to just to take a selfie and there was a nuclear submarine in the background somewhere, maybe even just incidentally, doesn't even matter. Intent doesn't matter. Like Peter Strzok and the rest of the FBI tried to make the Hillary Clinton situation all about. It was all about intent with her. It had nothing about negligence had any play in that situation. And now you're telling me that somebody leaked video from a U.S. Navy destroyer, the deck of a U.S. Navy destroyer that supposedly catches triangle-shaped UFOs swarming above head. And it's all in, and the footage, it's not cell phone footage, it's night vision. It's night vision. This was not leaked, it was planted. This is ongoing, official, non-official, limited hangout disclosure. And they've been building up this PSYOP for a very, very long time. God knows how they're going to use it. But the fact is right now, it doesn't matter if an entire fleet shows up in Washington, D.C. and lands on Joe Biden's ass. Nobody gives a shit. So I think that is a interesting situation to have been a part of a PSYOP that's, you know, 60, 70 years old now, 9,000 movies, 5,000 television shows, all to build this up. And right when it's time to take the stage, everybody had already left. In fact, nobody's even going outside anymore. Nobody's even going out to the theater anymore. Not allowed to, because the aliens that we're dealing with right now, you can't even see. They're microscopic, and they may be inside you. You may be the alien. You may be the alien incubator. You'd never know. You don't have to look out for a little green man. It just might be your little old grandmother. That's the one carrying the deadly pathogen from another planet. Who knows? What's this? Also on the Daily Star. What is a micropenis? All right, children, cover your ears. I got to talk to parents a little bit. All right, mom and dad. What is this? This is on one of those side clicks. I had to click on it. What is a micropenis? How common are they, and what causes it? A study has indicated that just 0.6% of men worldwide have a micropenis. Oh boy. But the good news is that doctors say that if you are one of the few out there, you can still enjoy a very healthy sex life. Thank God. We've all heard the jokes, and it's an easy source of childish banter around the pub after a few drinks. But in reality, only a tiny fraction of men actually have a micropenis, and it's a real disorder. They talk about how it's hormonal. They're saying over here it's hormonal, and it happens. It's typically diagnosed in newborn babies. And you can do testosterone therapy for babies? I don't know. Would you say if that? I don't know. Then again, do you really want them to grow up with that? Do you want to give them a better shot? Because it is devastating. It is trust me, it's devastating. Take it from me. It's a horrible, horrible affliction. Let me see here. What about a sex life, they say? I'm sorry, I'm off on a tangent now. I'll get to the Q&A in a second. I gotta see what they say about sex life. What about sex life? A micropenis is far from the end of the world when it comes to the bedroom. All right. It doesn't prevent men from getting erections per se, or pleasuring themselves, or having orgasms, or urinating. It's all good. If it prevented them from urinating, I think that this would be a little bit more of a disaster. They wouldn't survive long. Says Dr. Brombot. While micropenis can be discomforting condition for some men, a fully satisfying sex life can be possible for men and their partners. That woman is a saint. From a functioning point of view, a size of a man's unit is a least significant aspect of their sexual capacity to provide partner pleasure that they desire. Yeah, you can put on prosthetics, like a strap-on or something like that, I guess. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to be talking about this stuff on this show. This is for the 7 o'clock show. There's a lot of very well-dignified people out there that have just completely been horrified by me. This is a dignified audience. I should not have done this. Only really when a person is very young, it appears, they continue on the Daily Star. Dr. Ree says testosterone believes treatment can be effective as long as it's done prior to puberty. And surgery too, Dr. Akhavine says. Phalloplasty uses tissue from other body sites, for example, in the forearm muscle flaps, to create a new penis and urethra for the patient. Oh my God. Well, this is, it happens. It's out there. That's the way the world works, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you know what? I'm streaming right now, and I'm not recording. What the hell have I done? What the hell have I done? Wait a second. Where am I streaming right now? I'm streaming on D Live. I'm streaming live right now. I hit stream instead of record. And I'm streaming live. Ladies and gentlemen. Okay, well, the reason you don't see me is because this is an audio show. Ah, this is an audio show and it's pre-recorded and therefore I don't put the camera on. Oh my God. Yes, Dark to Light was streamed live this morning, and I didn't know. I didn't know. The good thing is that I will be able to download this from DLive and then do something with it, because I was about to completely freak out when I realized that the start recording button had been unhit, had been unpushed. I was about to freak out. But at least all this has been on. Oh my God. All right, well, at least everybody got a little bit of a bonus. I see. Hello, Christina Marie Velez. What's going on, Texas grandson? Awake. Has it been a good show so far? See, this is real radio. You don't see anything. You're sitting back. You're having some coffee, and now you're and now you're listening. You're listening to it. Here you have it. Okay, you streamed your micro penis. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Well, this was a. This gave me a nice little belly laugh here. Let me go to the Q&A on the Dark to Light Telegram to see what we have here. If there's anything that we can go with, where am I? That's 6:30 a.m. Where is my? Okay, here we go. Ill Discourse Dan from Virginia says, "What's the right way to tackle crumbling infrastructure?" Oh, I don't know. You know, that's the whole point. The whole thing with crumbling infrastructure there, Dan, is first of all, there's misresponsibility there. There's no responsibility for the federal government to make sure that highways and roads and this and that are made. First of all, think about all the money that's wasted. How about that? Let's think about that for a second. Let's just think very, very economic about the whole thing. You say, oh, well, we have crumbling, our airports are crappy, and our highways are shitty, and this and that, and our sewer systems, and our power grids, and all that stuff. Well, you think about the trillions of dollars that are spent and wasted. You think about the way that we have, in this respect, we had a humming economy. And we were going right along with things, and then all of a sudden, a cavalcade of governors and mayors across the country told people they can't work anymore, and tried to supplement all of that productivity with printing monopoly money. And where'd that monopoly money go to? A lot of it went to foreign countries. We all went through these gigantic spending bills and what was on out there and what was in them. So if you want to talk about what it would take to spiff up a international airport in South Carolina or something like that, I mean, you think about the tens of millions of dollars that go to places like Pakistan, $1 billion here, $1 billion there. You know, facility, the embassy that we built in Iraq. The $1 to $2 billion embassy that we built in Iraq, that could have been an airport. That could have been an airport in Buffalo. So you want to talk about crumbling infrastructure? We've spent everything. We've spent the future, and that's the whole point there. If you were to say, like, for example, when I was talking about illegal aliens getting $16,000 a piece over here in New York, and people would say, you know, those who are really hardline ideological with the whole thing, that no person is illegal, they're citizens too, they pay taxes. Let me tell you something, and I said it last night. If I go to Italy on vacation tomorrow with my wife, and I go to whatever the hell they have set up as a Walmart or something. I go into a convenience store, and I buy myself a top-of-the-line Italian toaster. I want to bring a toaster back with me from Italy. The sales tax that I pay on that toaster does not make me an Italian citizen, because that's just the way it is. So, yeah, a person has been living in this country illegally. That is a chance that they are taking on their own for 15, 20 years. They had a couple of children and all that stuff, and they've spent God knows how much money on toasters here in the United States. It still doesn't make them a citizen. So you say, well, they deserve some of that. No, they deserve, if they've been working and they have been supporting themselves without being eligible for any kind of means-tested programs here in the United States, then how about don't shut down the economy? Let citizens and non-citizens work the way that they do. But don't give them stuff. Don't give them stuff out of nowhere and say that this is progress. It's not. Now, the reason why I bring this up when we talk about crumbling infrastructure and things like that is that if you really say that non-citizens that are living here and that are not taking part in welfare and that are just trying to get along, You want to stay out of their hair and just let them live their lives. I, from a humanitarian standpoint, I can totally get behind that. Because ultimately, I don't care too much about the illegal immigration problem from a philosophical standpoint if there was no welfare state here. That means that the people who live here who are not documented are here knowing that they are living and dying on their own ambitions and their own efforts. And they're either thriving or they're saying, I can't do this and I got to go back home. And they go back to their country of origin. So that I understand that that has become a little bit more complex because of how it's been weaponized by the current political class and the political class of the last few generations. It's been weaponized by those who want to see the United States disappear. And that is a very horrible thing for especially those legal immigrants from places like Honduras and Chile and Libya and Germany and Lithuania, wherever the hell it is. They completely blot all that out to be able to get you into this pigeonholed racism, xenophobia area there. And for somebody who's been here paying their sales taxes and doing this and that, how about you cut taxes? How about you eliminate state sales taxes? How about you eliminate one thing or another? That's a great way to tackle crumbling infrastructure as well. You know, eliminate the burdens on people, eliminate burdens on the state. But to be honest, it really comes down to my first point is look at the way that we spend money and tell me that infrastructure on a state level could not have been tackled by the government in that state, which is the only entity that is constitutionally permitted to take efforts into their own hands to build one thing or another, or to facilitate the building of one facility or another, or an interstate highway system, a parkway system, whatever the hell it is. If one state or another is not having tens of millions, if not billions of dollars siphoned off into boondoggles that end up most of the time overseas to countries that don't deserve the money. I mean, how many more airports can you really need? Seriously, we could have rebuilt our energy grid five times over with all the shit that we're spending money on. Let's see here. Wendy asks, what will you do locally to promote freedom besides your show? I know you live in New York, but there's got to be something. Well, what I did do for my community for 15 years was coach youth baseball. There's a lot of life lessons in youth baseball. There's a lot of life lessons there. So I have passed on education to children for years. And of course, the last 2 years, that's been out of my life because I refused to do it in a mask. And then now really my show is everything. My show is my life, my life's work. And it's the way that I can really get on out there and do what I can the best of my ability. I don't find it to be prudent just yet to show up to my local town hall and start berating the people on the town council, especially since I know them all, and it would make going out and buying a gallon of milk really, really uncomfortable for me and my family. So I just do what I can, especially since New York is going to kill itself no matter what. And ultimately, which is another very awful, you know, sad thing that I had to think about, is I'm just going to have to take as many family and friends that I can with me to another part of the country. Until the tide raises over there too. Because what else is there? I don't know. So I would say get involved in your communities however the hell you can and make your passions be the way that you guide yourself in that. That's it. You know, my passion, baseball is one of my passions. Personal training and health and fitness is one of my passions. And of course, liberty should be everybody's passions because that's what allows you to actually have a passion and pursue it. If you don't have liberty, then all you have is government jobs programs, and you're just some ditch digger that gets a welfare check, and you just learn to be happy with it. So that's how I did it for 15 years before I was told that I can't do it unless I do it in a mask, and that's not going to happen. So always let your passions be your guide, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I would say. Let's see, what else is there? I think those are the only two questions that came in, to be honest. I don't see anything else. So there you have it. One last thing, the CDC director, that crying, quivery-voiced harridan that came on out and said, I'm scared. She said that racism, she has declared that racism is a serious public health threat. I actually agree. We need to find a way to take Democrats out of public life, and especially out of the media. The racism that they push every day is a detriment to men, women, boys and girls of all ethnic, religious backgrounds, everything like that. Liberals need to be squelched out of many public conversations. And when I say squelched out, I don't mean silenced. I mean they need to be confronted, and they need to be exposed. I don't care what the hell they say on MSNBC every night. They can say whatever hell they want. As long as the internet is free, then MSNBC is completely irrelevant. But the internet is increasingly shackled, which is why they try to they chase people with a voice that is interesting. They chase concepts and conversations that are interesting to people away. They call them conspiracy theorists. They try to make sure that all their funding is cut off, that they are disconnected from supportive communities, their listening and viewing audiences. And once they get all of those vibrant and necessary and relevant voices marginalized on a once free internet, that is the only way that a Rachel Maddow can still have any kind of viewership or be heard, because of course she's promoted on that internet. If the internet was free, television would be so more increasingly ridiculous. You want to talk about fringe? It would be the television. Most people would be having conversations with people like us. They'd be tuning into shows like this. And more people are, don't get me wrong, but there's plenty of hurdles put in our way. So I completely agree with Dr. Rochelle Walensky from the CDC, our CDC director. Oh, what a wonderfully courageous woman. She says that racism is a serious public health threat. I absolutely agree. Democrats have completely made racism an unavoidable problem in day-to-day life. Or at least they want you to think that way. They want you to think that no matter where you live, whether it's in a bustling city of Los Angeles or New York, or whether or not you live in a shanty and somewhere in the woods in Montana next to the Unabomber, that right outside your door, there is a race riot. That right out there in the thick of the woods in Montana or Idaho, that there is a Klan meeting going on. And there's a cross burning somewhere. That's what they want you to think. That's what Dr. Rochelle Walensky is a part of. That's the disease that Dr. Rochelle Walensky is a part of spreading. Not bringing attention to. She's spreading a disease that is racism. That's what small brain people concentrate on constantly. So, yeah. That's all I got for you right now. And I know you got a sneak peek how the sausage is made. And if you stay, if you are a lot, you stick around for the OnlyFans stream after this. And that's how we'll end our Saturday or Friday morning. 10:52 a.m. over here, but you'll be listening to this on demand at 2:30 p.m. And Monday will be another day. It'll be the 12th. Of April, and Tracy will be back. I will be reconnected with my friend. I don't know where she is. I don't know what she's doing, but I'm sure she's having a great time. Me, on the other hand, I've got to go get myself some coffee. I'm going to get myself a cup of coffee. I'm going to go check the P.O. box, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to write my 7 o'clock show, which should be pretty good because I've got my mother coming on with our old friend, Tony Black. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I don't know, good times, noodle salad. That's what we're going to talk about. And then I'll make time for some other extras and stuff there too. So hope to see you all tonight at 7. And thank you for spending some time with me on this very lonely week on Dark to Light. This is Frank, and I hope that you have enjoyed yourself. With that, I yield back. Later.